Hello. So here we are in module number 11. It's moving right along. We are talking about ethics today, which is corporate governance, corporate ethics, social responsibility. And this is such a big topic right now, especially. You know, certainly there has been some problems with corporate accounting and businesses taking advantage, which has led to legislation which is trying to protect things. So ethics in businesses is huge. But let's not forget about the importance of social responsibility. And before we even really get into the lecture, I want to bring something up. I want to show you that Apple, I know I'm using Apple a lot, I know I am, but they're a good example, that Apple actually has some really good corporate social responsibility desires, and you can see that they want to be carbon neutral for every product by 2030. Here's their 21 progress report. So I'm not going to do a lot here. I'm just going to show you a couple of these things and show them to you. I think I've shown them to you before, but I want to show them to you again because I think it's a good reminder that that Apple is working very hard on their corporate social responsibility initiatives, as are many companies. Google is completely carbon neutral as well and has been since 2004. So as we get into the material, let's talk about whether we think that a businesses should be doing good for the environment, and what their role is as a business in this world. So what are their responsibilities? Some organizations that the book talks about that also does really, really good work in this area is Tom's Shoes. Tom's gives away a lot of shoes. Obama sock, I don't know if you've seen those commercials, but they talk about the greatest sock never sold. So for every Bombas sock that you buy, they give one away. So that's pretty amazing, the work that they're doing. So I talked about these corporate scandals. Recently, Bernie Madoff passed away. Bernie Madoff is known for one of his scandals. It was a Ponzi scheme. Enron is one. Boeing, their Supermax liner was a corporate scandal. Because they didn't pay attention to all their FAA rules. Bernie Madoff, who I just talked about, who was spending 150 years in prison, he passed away recently. And then Adelphi had some securities violations and theft as well. And they're not the only ones. Martha Stewart was involved in a corporate scandal as well. She spent some time in jail, and she has recently kind of remade herself. So these corporate scandals have really led to stronger accounting practices, stronger laws, and stronger board diligence, and making sure that this stuff does not happen again. There was the Sarbanes-Oxley Act that had a bunch of reforms, and that was signed by President Bush, and you can see some of those right there. An oversight board, which I talked about, standards that exist for auditors. Senior executives must take personal responsibility for financial statements being accurate, enhanced reporting, securities analysts, CEOs must sign a firm's tax return. The SEC has expanded authority. There are criminal penalties that exist, and the SEC can freeze large transactions if fraud is expected. So those are some of the changes that have been put in place, and certainly there's other laws as well that have been put in place as a result of some of these unfair and wrong accounting practices. So when we think about ethics and corporate social responsibility, there is a lot of things that go into it. There's a code of conduct. Code of conduct is around how you operate. The book shows Facebook, so because the book shows Facebook instead of using another company, I think that's a good one to show. This kind of gives you an example right here of what it looks like: conflicts of interest, harassment, financial integrity and responsibility. Obviously, you can't retaliate, training, protection, etc. There's rules around confidential information and those kind of things as well. So you will see that businesses are really responding to having rules in place to make sure that their employees and themselves are operating ethically. Part of this is corporate social responsibility, which is the social contract that exists between businesses and society. Sometimes you're going to hear this referred to as the triple bottom line, I will show you a graphic on that. So this is an example. Let me see if I can make it big. I'm sorry. This is an example of the triple bottom line in practice, where you talk about people as a resource, obviously profit, and then obviously the planet. If you look at this term in the middle, sustainability, what being sustainable means is basically just keeping something going and setting it up for the future. So there are finite resources out there. So if you're a paper company and you take a tree out of the ground or cut down a tree, then planting another tree would be an example of sustainable practice. So here is one picture, one graphic, and I want to bring up another that kind of talks about how everything works together. Remember that these things are that didn't do what I wanted to do. These things are tied together. So just give me one second to find that graphic. There it is. And you can see this graphic, again, it illustrates that profitability, the planet, and people aspect. So in the United States, certainly there has been a push for social equality, diversity initiatives. So that would be an example of the people side. Obviously, you have to make a profit for your company, so that's an example of the profit side. And then from the planet side, I already showed you Apple's sustainable practices. I've probably done that a couple times in this class. But that's an example of carbon neutrality and how it's important to take care of the planet as well. So as we think about this concept of the triple bottom line, companies can't just be concerned with one and the exclusion of the others, because now consumers are demanding movement in the other areas. Obviously, there have been protests and boycotts against companies who partake in the social aspect or the environmental aspect in the name of profits. So that's a little graphic for the triple bottom line. Remember that it's you can also hear it called the three P's, which is profit, planet, and people. And we will talk about it a little more. But let's talk about some corporate governance first. So there is a board of directors, and the board of directors is one of the key stakeholders of the corporation. And what they do is they basically are the board that checks the CEO. So you might have different board roles related to that, where they might act as an advisor, they might be an activist, they might be a human resource manager, they have to monitor CEO, the accountant, the lawyer. Now, there's a lot of questions, and whether this is ethical or not, I'm leaving that up to you to decide, but there's often a lot of questions around around CEO behavior and CEO compensation. So a lot of people are saying, well, CEOs are making, you have somebody that's working at the lower end, of a job is making $10 an hour. You have a CEO making $200 million a year. How is that fair? How is that right? One of the things I want to point out is that generally board of directors are made up of other CEOs and board of directors. So when it comes to CEO compensation, there's a vested interest in the board of directors to make sure they're paying their CEOs well, because obviously it drives up their compensation as well in their company. So a lot of people look at these board of directors and they're like, they have a job to do, but are they doing it ethically? And that's a legitimate question, and that's a legitimate concern. So I just want to, I'm not going to pick Apple because I always pick Apple. So I'm just going to randomly pick another company, and we're going to look at the board of directors for it. What do you think? Let's go with Coca-Cola. Hopefully it's easy to find their their board of directors. So let's see if we can find them. As we talk about sustainability and that triple bottom line, you can see right here that they're talking about sustainable business. So certainly they are firmly committed toward it. But that's not what we're here to do. We are here to look at the leadership and specifically the board of directors. And look, there they all are. Let's see what they do. So he is the CEO of Coca-Cola. He is on the board. You can see here, chief executive officer and director of Allen & Company, head of the European portfolio operations for Blackstone, chairman of this group, chairman of that group, chairman and CEO of New Ventures, president and CEO of the Chicago Committee. Anyway, you see CEO of managing partner of WE Family Offices, chief executive officer of Compute Software Inc., chairman and chief executive officer of Jet Enterprises. I think you're seeing a theme. So if you have a bunch of CEOs on a board and they're trying to set the compensation, which is one of their roles, set the compensation of the CEO, if the CEO they put in place is making more money, then what does that mean for them if they move to a different company as well? Something to think about. So, let's see. There are some perks also. So there are some CEOs that do not take a salary, but they have perks, so they'll get stock. certain CEOs will get certain perks, like the Ben & Jerry's CEO. Will receive a free ice cream for life. I'm sure the CEO of Delta Airlines, Ed Bastian, I'm sure he has some perks related to his position. Maybe it's free travel for life. Maybe it's free club access, whatever it may be. Certainly, different CEOs have different compensation packages and perks that the board sets. So there are some things that happen in corporate governance related to takeovers. This chart talks about it. Maybe you've heard the term a golden parachute, which is a financial package if somebody loses their job. There is a friendly takeovers that's called a white knight. And then there's a corporate raider who just takes over a firm by purchasing a stock. And if it's hostile, then that's something that happens that the board doesn't want to happen. There's a term called poison pill. And then there's something called green mail, where an unfriendly firm forces a target company to repurchase a large block of stock at a premium to thwart a takeover attempt. So there are all these strategies that are in place, all these things that happen, and I want to leave it up to you to determine if you think those are ethical practices or not, and what those practices mean, and what the implications of them are. So going back to CSR, remember we talked about social accountability. We showed that people, profits, and planet. So the three P's. Think about you know, the kind of impact that a company is going. And there used to be a model where people would say that a corporation only has one purpose, and that's to serve their shareholders, make as much money as possible for their shareholders or the company owners. And now that thought is shifting, and it's more about stakeholders and what good are they doing for society. So a lot of people are taking their purchasing power, and they're only purchasing from companies that are doing good for society, and then eschewing those that are not. So an example in my life is, if you look at what has happened in the Niger Delta region, I don't want to name the company, but certainly Niger Delta, if you look that up, you will see there's a certain company that had some unethical practice in that region. That they have since tried to clean up, and they're very transparent about it on their website. But that is a company that I generally do not purchase from if given the choice and different options. So corporate responsibility, you know, you got to think about the responsibilities, and we talked about there's the ever-increasing responsibilities, but there's economic responsibilities. Obviously, they have some philanthropic responsibilities, which Apple is a good example of this, because Apple did not really, under Steve Jobs, did not really have a lot of philanthropic effort, a little bit, but not a lot, and that certainly increased since Steve Jobs. There's legal responsibilities, and then there's ethical responsibilities, which is the code and governance and ethics. And all these kind of work together to provide a framework for a company to operate ethically, to give back to the stakeholders, not just the shareholders, but the stakeholders of that company. We are going to move on. There are ways that these are measured, and that's for corporate social performance. There's a lot of metrics out there. The UN certainly has some indexes and things like that, which measure how much good somebody's doing, whether they are doing good for the planet, and those kind of things. So there are corporate measures out there to measure what brands are doing good and what brands are not. So just be aware of that. I want to end there. I just want to ask one question. You know, as we think about company and ethics and things like that, think about COVID-19 and the impact and the nature of work. And we can talk about COVID-19 from a strategy perspective of all the different things that we've learned over the previous 10 chapters, certainly how businesses had to adapt, how they had to change, how you can't put your strategy in place and stick to it no matter what. Sometimes you're going to have to modify it. You're going to have to be adaptable, those kind of things. We've talked about all that. But one of the things that I want you to think about is, what is the responsibility of a business? What is ethical to maintaining its business rhythm, but then also taking care of their employees. So if somebody gets COVID and comes to work, then should the business, in the interest of the welfare of the employees, shut down the entire business and do a deep cleaning, or should it keep operating as normal? These are some of the gray areas, some of those ethical dilemmas that companies have to wrestle with, and they have to wrestle with quite often. So with that, we have concluded our penultimate lecture here, and we will be going into strategic leadership, which is slightly different from strategic management, and we'll just be talking a little bit about some of the concepts related to that next. So with that, I just want to thank you for your time and attention thus far. You have gone through a lot of material. You've certainly read a lot out of this textbook and out of other books. In fact, I think it doesn't give you a number. Oh, yeah. So I am looking at page page 331 right now. So you've certainly read a lot and done a lot of work, and I just want to applaud you for doing that. So as we move into this last lecture, I just want to close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we almost have done it, and we're here at the end, and one more lecture to go, and I just want to thank you for this class, and I want to thank you for their intention and all the work that they have put in, and may it bear fruit, Lord. So as we go about our day, as we go about our evening, as we go about our morning, I pray that we will stay focused on you, Lord. Thank you so much, and thank you for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, and I will see you back here for our final lecture.